us learn Tifar Shimshon Parshas Yisrei. Yisrei is about Maimon Har Sinai, so let's learn a little bit about that. The Pasuk says, Lech Reid, go down, the Alisa Atav Aaron Imach, and Aaron will, together with you, come. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were summoned to come to the higher parts of Har Sinai, and the Kaihanim and the Am, they would stay down. So Rashi says, you might think to say that all of them will come up with you. It's not clear from the Pasuk. No, you have to come up. Emer me'ata ata. There's different groupings, there's different boundaries on the har and in the vicinity where Moshe Rabbeinu goes all the way up, he's by himself. Aaron goes up a little bit higher, but not near Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kaihanim are in their own mechitza, and then the Am. Moshe Nigash Yosem Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu went up higher than Aaron. Aaron Yosef and Akehanim. Va'am kol ikar al yarasu es matzavam malas lashem. They are not allowed to go and break through any boundaries to go up to the mountain, even though they were tempted to. They wanted to get nearer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But every single segment of Klal Yisrael different had their own special gevul as far as they were able to get to the mountain. So, Frechter Pinkus, a very, very great question, I think, on this Rashi. Yesh l'tmaya, shayir le'el ne'ma v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. Before we said that Klal Yisrael encamped neged ahar, Pirush Rashi, ki ish echad b'lev echad, use the lashon of yachid. V'yichan is one person camping. What does it mean, one person? There's 600,000 men and women and children. What does it mean, v'yichan? Ki ish echad b'lev echad, that we were like one man, with one heart. We were together. We had achdus. But over here we see that in our Sinai, every single one of them had their own mechitza. And there's nothing that will cause, that will stir up kina and pirud.
Exactly 6 weeks ago today, I was only on top of the stadium. Pretty scary, actually. at a hard point. Couldn't go down to dance on the floor, on the field. Did put a little bit on my feet, but still.
Okay, that's a good question.
Is there a greater after than that?
Okay, I hear your question, but l'chaira, these mechitzas, I mean, the truth is that I don't know if it's such a... I don't know. That's a good question. But the basic question of Rapinkus is that if we're making a matzah of achdus, then it seems to be a little bit of a stira to create different boundaries and different VIP sections and the floor and the you know, my line by the Siyam HaShas was it's the only time you ever hear people bragging that they're in a box. And that, you know, that's a joke. But the there's VIP and then there's the box and there's this. Everybody has their own thing. It there is a little bit of a peer. You might have felt. You have a good you have a good heart, so maybe you felt achdus in spite of that. But there are people, a lot of people might have been a little bit not so happy with the fact that there were different dark madrigas.
I mean, my mother got pulled with Rebecca to get my grandfather and father into a heat section.
He what? She what?
Got pulled with Rebecca to get my father and grandfather heat section. Hmm. Right near my sacks, actually.
My sacks?
Up front.
On the dais?
I think they had a couple of daises and he was one of them.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, those daises and like that dais. It's not a dais. You don't make a dais of like a four-sided dais. No, it's not a cupboard for anybody. A dais is supposed to be like a long thing, and you have like the speaker, and then all like the main gedolim are like near the speaker, and then as you work, you know, it's not a dais to have like a, you know, to have like a big stage with like different views. It's like it was freezing, and you didn't give them covered. Like, what, you know, how much worse could it be?
On Barclays, they had a nice dais. It was like.
By where?
In Barclays.
In Barclays. Yeah, I heard it. I heard Barclays is much nicer than.
I went to the Dershi Sunday night. They did it.
On a table. They had a that was a table.
That also that everybody's facing all the dome around two ports, two sides.
Yeah. You went to Prudential?
Yes.
Right, so you went to Barclays. So who was
the MetLife, but I saw pictures.
Oh. I heard Barclays is very nice. And it was warm.
Yeah,
sure.
But MetLife, I was still the main event. It was more English, more.
What was going on in Barclays? They had their own speakers?
A lot of their own and a lot of hookups.
So which speaker was?
Dr. LeBeer.
Yeah.
Dot is, I think.
Should have gone there.
But more in Yiddish.
Can handle it. All right, anyway. So, that's the question. How can you have Ish Echav Lev Echad and also many different sections? If you have more money than I do, I'm jealous of you. And that's shtosim. Who cares if you have more money or less money? Well, it doesn't make you a better person, a firmer person, a bigger Talmud Chacham because you have more money in the bank. But yet, if I know that, oh, that guy's a rich guy, it's going to bother me a little bit. And that's by something that's ridiculous, that's trivial. But over here, the jealousy would be well-founded. What's the tachas of everything? What's the point? Why are we here right now? Because the Mesos Sharam tells us, what's the whole point of this world? That we should get close to Rabbeinu Shalom. Eilam Haba, tachas, that's the Eden Amiti. But even in this world, we get close to Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's really, those moments of divine proximity is what makes the entire world spin on its axis. So if that's true, so that's a good reason to be jealous. Moshe Rabbeinu is closer to the Rebbeinu Shem than I am, I'm jealous. Aaron is closer than I am, I'm jealous. The Zkenim, the Kehanim, so you're creating a real sense of kinah. It's not like a fake kinah. Maybe by the Siyum HaShas nobody cares about sitting on the dais, let's say. But if the dais had the Rebbeinu Shem on, you would care about it. If you got to sit near to the Rebbeinu Shem and bask in his glory, then that would be something that everybody would be jealous of.
That was the event for MetLife. There was a 22,000, but Barclays doesn't hold 22,000.
Very good. Okay. Zayi Hashifa Amitis Shel Kol Yehudi. This is the greatest desire, aspiration of every Jew. Liskarev El Hashem, to get close to the Rebbeinu Shem. Zayi Yisoyda Chasidus. The Sherish Haveda Tmimat Vataiva Amiti. Im Kain, Bipashtos, Hamachitzais, Hayutzrichais, La'ira Kinab Naira. The Machitzas should really have been Ma'ira, tremendous Kinna. Ulamar Ba'apella, and just to add a little bit more question. Dafka Kan, Haya Rega, Gadol B'yaisa Shalachtas. Dafka now is the greatest moment of Achdus, Ki Ish Echav Lev Echad. Something doesn't make sense. How is it possible that you have Ish Echav Lev Echad on one hand, and then you also have all this period, all the division of the different mechitzas that were taking place over here? Kates Nitin Levaris Hadavar. Bira Nirakach. So here comes Rapinkus, and he explains as follows. Harama Milchas Shuva Kosav. Kol Adam Roy Loi Lias Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person, says the Rambam, could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. V'Ravim Tamo Al Kach, and many people ask on this, Hayitachin Shekol Echad Yochel Lias Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Is it possible to think that every single person could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? How's it possible? You and me could be like Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Avon Avim. He was the Makabel Teir's Karei Yamsa. How do you compare yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam's really telling me that I could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's like, seems impossible. Notice that the Rambam does not say that my actions, my deeds are on the same stage as Moshe Rabbeinu, that they're equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki be'emes ha'adam lo yachal yes Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. Rambam never said that a person could be a tzaddik, could be Moshe Rabbeinu. He says he could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Alak shekavanasei leimer, shekashem shel Moshe Rabbeinu yitafkid u'shlichas ba'olam, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tachlis. He had a tafkid, he had a shlichas, he had a purpose in this world. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu's tachlis was, to get the Torah, to be the leader, to be the tzaddik, to be the greatest navi, the greatest anav, whatever his tachlis was, and he had so many hats that he wore, but he was able to maximize all the potential and all of the mission that he was set out to do was accomplished. In the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that, kach kol echad tzarich lemalus es tafkido shlichusa yichudes ba'olam b'shleimos. It's actually Rabbi Chanan says the same vart to explain the Rambam. It's a funny Rambam, right? The Rambam says that. What? So, we're in Darash Mesha? So, the Rambam says that every single person could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's like saying every person could be a basketball player like Michael Jordan. That's basically what it's saying. I could work out all day and all night, shoot baskets all day and all night. I'll never be able to beat Michael Jordan in a basketball game or to even get a shot off of him, probably. Right? So how can you say that a tzaddik like Moshe, I'm supposed to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? It's impossible. He's a giant. So the way they explain the Rambam is, doesn't mean that I could be a Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't. I can't be the Avon Avim. I can't bring down the Torah to Klal Yisrael. I can't have the head that Moshe Rabbeinu had. I can't have the heart that Moshe Rabbeinu had. What does it mean I could be like Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu had a mission to accomplish in his life. Moshe Rabbeinu was given a divine mission. He was supposed to do all the things that he did, and guess what? He checked every box perfectly. He did everything that he was supposed to. Our mission is not Moshe Rabbeinu's mission. We don't have the same mission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect me to go up on our Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights, not eat, and bring down the Torah. That's not my mission. That was his mission. I don't have to do his mission. I'm not expected to do it. If I would do his mission, I'd be corrupting my own vision. Mission. If I'm doing what you're supposed to be doing, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I have to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Like Moshe Rabbeinu did what he was supposed to be doing, I'm supposed to do what I'm doing. Now, the $64,000 question is, what am I supposed to be doing? That's the question that you should be asking yourself. You know, okay, so what is my tachlis in life? I wasn't born with like a little fortune cookie tzetzel in my belly button, you know, that my parents look at. Oh, accountant, oh, lawyer. That didn't happen. It would be great if it happened. We'd be able to have clarity finally what I'm supposed to be doing with my life.
We're Jewish. It's safe to assume it's one of those.
That's true. So how do I know when? So that's a different question. That's for a different vad. We've discussed that as well. But whatever, if you know what your tachlis is, you know that you're supposed to sit in kaitel all day for the rest of your life, or you know that you're supposed to go into chinuch, or rabbanis, or klei kaidish, or accounting, actor. What are you doing there?
Office worker, coaching.
That's good. I like that. How'd you get to that? You asked the guidance counselor? Career counselor?
I guess my opinion, they said office work, and then but people who worked with me said, coaching, I'd be good at, as more of a success story.
What do you mean more of a success?
That with my issues I made it this far.
I hear. So, yeah, I think you'd be great at both. Anyway, but once a person figures out what his tachlis is in life, then he has to try to do it to the best of his ability. And it's sort of like shadow boxing, because you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. And you could get close to figuring it out maybe, but you never really know fully what you're... Some people do. Shouldn't say nobody. There are people that really know what they're supposed to be doing. And those people are really lucky. But be that as it may, that's what it means that you could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting, you know, there's a famous vart from the Hasidic master, Reb Zusha Manipoli. So he, Reb Zusha used to say that I'm not afraid that when I come up to heaven, they're going to ask me why I wasn't Avraham Avinu. So, because I wasn't Avraham Avinu. Then I'm not afraid they're going to ask me why I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, because I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not afraid they're going to ask me why I wasn't David HaMelech, because I'm not David HaMelech. So, but what I am afraid of is that they're going to ask me why weren't you Zusha? He says, and then what am I going to say? That's taka a big problem. So they
don't
they
say which Zusha.
So they said this vart, this quote to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, because Reb Chaim Kanievsky is sort of like, you know, you throw a pitch at him and he'll smack it out of the park every time. You know, like he you know, it's interesting, he's Tas Tayer, he's the Urmatum. So you tell him a vart and see what he says about it. So they told him this is what Reb Zusha Manipoli said. He says it's a beautiful vart. He says there's only one problem. It goes against this Rambam. Because this Rambam says that every single person could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is he not afraid that if they're going to ask him, why weren't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is that Reb Elchanan, Reb Pinkus, that's not what the Rambam meant. That's how they would answer. I mean, I guess Reb Chaim is taking this Rambam very literally, that you will be asked why you weren't Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and David, because you were expected to be them. But the way that Reb Zusha probably understood the Rambam was that not expected to be them, expected to be me. I'm expected to be Zusha. The Rambam is telling me that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm supposed to be Zusha. And if I'm not Zusha, that's when the trouble is going to happen. No one's going to have tainus on me for not being you. But they'll have tainus on me for not being me. I have potential. I could have done this and I could have done that. I could have built this. I could have written this. I could have. And where were you? What were you doing all day? You could have been a tremendous masman, a tremendous talmud chacham. You could have been, a huge philanthropist. What were you doing? So that would be a tain on me with my own kaychas, with my kishron. They're not going to expect me to do the impossible. No one's going to have tainus on me for not lifting 1,000,000 pounds because I can't do that. But things that I can do, there might be a tain on me. Now we know that Zeu Shekosov. This is what the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says: Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. That kavan. What does that mean? Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. They are. What does that mean? Reuven hu Heichal Hashem, Shimon hu Heichal Hashem, Levi hu Heichal Hashem, uve'etzem kol echad hu Heichal Hashem. Every one of us is a sanctuary of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechinase Al Kol Echad Ve'Echad B'nei Sh'Hashem Yisbarach Hu Echad. V'hine B'mayim Min Arsina Yoda Kol Echad Mi'Yisrael Es Mekayma Ha'amiti. By Matan Torah, every person knew his place. V'lachem La'Yisakina B'neim. You know when I'm jealous of you? I'm jealous of you when you know your place and I don't know my place. I'm jealous because I think that could be my place. If I see that you're very successful and you just... whatever, you just made it into a medical school, and you just became a big lawyer, you just got a big promotion. I'm jealous. You know why I'm jealous? Because I think that I should have been you, I could have been you, I would have been better you. But let's say you have your thing and I have my thing. Let's say you're a doctor and I'm a lawyer, you're a Talmud Chacham and I'm an accountant, whatever it is. But and I'm happy with what I'm doing because I realize that that's my tachlis and you're happy with what you're doing. I wouldn't be jealous of you. The only time a person is jealous of somebody else is if there's something about their own their own mission in life that they feel they're not accomplishing. But if I feel like I'm really loving what I'm doing and you feel you're really loving what you're doing, then we wouldn't be jealous of each other. So by Har Sinai, everybody knew their place, and therefore there was no jealousy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza kan b'diyuk k'may shehu nimtza sham. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by me, and I know he's by you, and that's fine. As long as we both get him, we're good. Rak mishalei makiris makaymai misbabu m'kani. Only if I don't know where I am, who I am, I'm floundering, have to find myself, that is when a person could get jealous. Alba maimed Har Sinai, yada kol echeris makaymai. By Har Sinai, everybody knew their own makim. V'gam hayabar loy shakadosh baruch hu nimtza b'chol makim. M'meila sharu b'neim hasham v'achdos. Very big yesod we're learning here tonight. That it's important for everybody to maximize their own potential and to find something that you really enjoy doing. Can't stress that enough. It's important to make parnas even if you don't enjoy doing it. Just because you're not loving it, you still have to go to work every day to make parnas. But all things being equal, let's say we don't have to set back the clock. You are at a young age. Let's say, you know, all things on the table equal, you have to try to find the thing that you will feel you will be able to best accomplish your mission with. If you feel that you are a natural healer and you like helping people and you're a people person and you always dreamt of being a doctor, then gesundheit, you should be a doctor. Assuming that you're going to be happy being a doctor, then sometimes there are guys that they don't want to be doctors. Why are they going pre-med now? Because they want the COVID or their mother, you know, talked them into being a doctor, or they think it's cool to have MD plates or whatever it is that's getting them through 10 years of rigorous schooling. They feel that, but it's not really them. They're not natural doctors. They're playing a role of a doctor, but they're not really. They're people that are really doctors. They love doing this. They love helping people. This is their dream. That's amazing. That's something that if you are able to wake up in the morning excited to go to work and to do what you're doing, that's the greatest type of career. A Rebbe has that very often. If you love chinuch and you love teaching Torah, every day is geshmak. I go to yeshiva, you know, I get to learn with guys, I get to talk to guys. It's bli ayin hara. It's a great job. Now, is the pay as well as a lawyer? No, it's not. If you're going to chinuch to make a lucrative parnasa, then that's not a good reason to go in. But if you're going because you have a mission, you feel this is how you would maximize your mission, then that's amazing. There's a guy in yeshiva here that years ago, and he said to me, he came over to me one day at my table, he says, you know, says, all the profession, all the careers that they're offering here in Lander, although there's quite a big array of them, said, they don't appeal to me. These are all like yeshivisha careers, accounting and lawyer and, you know, pre-med, pre-dent, you know, it's great, I want to do something else. I said, what do you want to do? He says, I want to be an architect. It's always my dream to be an architect. I'm artistic and I like planning and I'm good and this. So I said, so do it. But as I said, you can learn here in the morning and then you find the school, you go, and sure enough, he did it. And today he's a very successful architect. You have to find what you want to do. Don't go into something because your friends are going into it, or because your parents want you to go into it, or because the man on the moon wants you to go. You have to go into something that you feel talks to you and speaks to you and really will make you happy and excited to go to work every day. Or you could do something that you hate, but at least find something else in your life. I don't mean hate. I mean that you don't love. Not everybody loves accounting, but there's a lot of accountants out there. Not everybody loves being a lawyer, but there are a lot of lawyers out there because it makes good money. And that's okay. It's very important to make good money. But find something in your life that animates you, that makes you excited.
I can't get management with and then exactly work, so, but I don't do it on the side.
Right. So if you could tutor on the side, you give a shir, you give a daf yomi, you help people out, you do chesed, you do chaverim, hatzalah. That's what people live for. A lot of people don't even like their jobs, but they're in hatzalah, and that gets them excited. And that's very important. It's very important. You have to do something that, like, you know, when you have that feeling like there's something like you have your, like a little secret that you're keeping to yourself, that you're planning something big. Whatever it is, it might be writing a sefer, it might be going for a career, it might be joining an organization, it might be starting an organization, it might be helping, old people in nursing. Whatever it is, everybody does different things that makes them excited, and that's a beautiful thing. And that means that you could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu maximized his potential, you can maximize yours. Once you figure out what your potential and what your mission is in life, then you have to just go for it. And there's going to be a lot of naysayers, going to be a lot of doubters, there's going to be a lot of people telling you every reason why you shouldn't go into it. But if you are convinced that that's what you want to do, then you do it, and you do it the best that you can, and you'll be matzliach mitzvah shemusiyat d'shmaya. But that's what happened at Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, there was no jealousy. You know why? Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo was here. Everybody recognized who they were, their own place. I don't have a problem with, with you. You go to an Aguda convention, you see Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky on the dais. You're jealous of him. Why is he sitting there, not me? I know why he's sitting there, not me. He's a Talmud Chacham Muflag, and I'm not. He is a Tzaddik, and I'm not. That's fine. I could live with that. Who can I live with? I can't live with, like, if I see, like, a friend of mine that's up on the stage for whatever reason, because he's an honoree or whatever, that bothers me, because I could have done that. But even that's treif, that attitude, because that means that you're not happy with who you are. If you're a jealous person, if you're jealous of other people, that means that you're not happy with who you are. If you're jealous that somebody else has a nice house, that means you're not happy with your house. If you're jealous of somebody else's position, that means you're not happy with your position. Because otherwise you wouldn't be jealous. If you were really settled and happy what you're doing and where you are in life, you wouldn't be jealous. On Har Sinai, everybody felt good about themselves. I have the Rebbeinu Shlom, he has the... We're all Heichal Hashem. We're all our own tabernacle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mashar Shechina in. And I'm fine. I have no job. I'm jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm jealous of Aaron. I'm jealous of the Kohanim. I'm happy because I know my place. I'm Makaris Makaimi. If you're Makaris Makaimi, then you have nothing to worry about in life. But you are at the stage in life right now, and I've said this a million times. These years that you're in yeshiva, these 4 years, 3 years, whatever, you have to figure out your homework during these days. Figure out what you want to do with your life. What's going to excite you? Even if you're already, like, the die is already cast, you're going to be an actuary, an accountant, office worker, a coach, or whatever it is that you're going to do, you have to figure out what is going to excite you. Is it going to be my job, which you said, which is great? Or is it going to be my job plus tutoring, or plus giving a shir, or plus hatzalah, chaverim, gemachs, whatever? You have to find something that you are excited, super pumped to do. Because then you won't be jealous of other people. Because I'm not jealous. I have my own thing. So when you don't have your own thing in life and you're looking at other people that seem to have a life and you don't, that's when the trouble starts. That's when the jealousy kicks in. So my bracha to you is that you should never, ever be jealous of anybody else, because you should be so happy and so fulfilled and so satisfied with your choices that you're making now that no one is a threat to you, because I'm happy. Because then let him be the biggest lawyer in the world. Let him be the biggest doctor. I'm the biggest whatever that I set myself out to be, and I'm happy. If I'm happy, then I won't be jealous of your happiness. I won't be jealous of your success, because I feel that taste of success myself. Okay.